What's up, everyone? Welcome to X-Men Unraveled, the podcast that follows the X-Men in chronological order. I'm your host, Noelle, and today I'm covering the origins of the fifth recruit to the original X-Men team, Jean Grey. I have mixed feelings about Jean. On the one hand, yes, she's the first female member of the team, but also she's never really been my favorite. I know some people absolutely love her, but to me, she was just never really in the running for my favorite character. I'm sorry, but next to Storm or Rogue or Emma Frost, Jean is a little lackluster. And to be absolutely fair, it's probably directly related to her origins as the only girl on the team in a series dating back to the early 60s. Maybe if Jean had a later starting point like those other characters, there would be more to her originally. And there's a lot of female characters who are introduced early in the Marvel Comics timeline who go through what I would call a period of rehab. They start out as demure or submissive or less powerful when they're introduced in the 60s, but as time goes on, that becomes less and less appealing or relevant. But you want to keep this character who has potentially decades worth of stories and relationships with other characters, so it means recreating them in a way that fits the current time. And that is plenty true for Jean. And her period of rehab and becoming a quote-unquote modern female character really gets a boost through the telling of her origin story that I will cover today. So in reading and rereading the comics, I'm going to give Jean the benefit of the doubt and look at her with the understanding that she comes from a very different, very sexist time. And that is going to be glaringly apparent as I cover the early years of the X-Men in the coming episodes. Jean variously plays the damsel in distress, the weakest team member, or the beautiful girl that all the boys want to be with. Not to mention her multiple deaths and resurrections later on. One of my favorite webcomics, my friend sent it to me years back, and there's these two parents talking about their son wanting to grow up and marry Cyclops. And his dad is getting really upset about it, and the mom says, it's okay, but then the dad says, my son will not be some douchebag's Jean Grey. Do you know how many times she's died? And that pretty much sums up many of my problems with Jean and the way she's been written, to be more precise. But before I get too far ahead of myself, let's get into Jean's early life leading up to her joining the X-Men. Unlike the four original male X-Men team members, Jean Grey didn't get an origin story early in the comics. For reference, Cyclops, Iceman, Angel, and Beast all have special sections of issues describing their early lives and recruitment in about the first 60 issues of Uncanny X-Men, all published before 1970. And these take anywhere from 3 to 4 issues each, so quite a bit of time is devoted to their origins. Jean, on the other hand, doesn't get her story told until about 1980, after she had already died on the page. And to add insult to injury, that happens despite the fact that she was introduced at literally the exact same time in Uncanny Number 1. And the story isn't even told in the Uncanny series the first time. Instead, we learn about it in the series Bizarre Adventures issue 27, published in 1981. This was written by Chris Claremont, and he added more depth to Jean's backstory. And hers is pretty dark, in a different way than Scott Summers was, but it's still a pretty tragic story. So Jean is the daughter of Elaine and John Grey. She has an older sister named Sarah, and the family lives in Annandale-on-Hudson near Bard College, where John works as a history professor. When Jean is 10 years old, she's playing in the front yard with her best friend, Annie Richardson. They are playing with a frisbee, throwing it back and forth, when Elaine, Jean's mom, tells the girls to be careful. She says their street is on a blind curve and cars can't see what's in front of them if they're going too fast. I am sure you can see where this is going. Shortly after this admonition, the frisbee lands in the street and Annie runs out to grab it without looking for traffic. Of course, just then, a car comes speeding around the corner, hitting Annie. Jean, who saw this, rushes out to Annie, who's now covered in blood and has multiple broken bones, but she's still alive. And so Jean tries to comfort Annie and tells her that the ambulance will be there soon and it's going to be okay. But at that moment, Jean's mutant powers manifest because of the heightened stress and emotion, and her power of telepathy connects her mind to Annie's. And the issue describes Jean seeing Annie's, quote, soul self, and she watches it vanish as Annie dies. And Jean finds herself laying in the street, cradling her best friend's body. And again, Jean is 10 years old at the time. After this obviously traumatic event, which would be traumatic enough on its own, much less with what Jean experienced through her telepathy, she starts growing withdrawn and depressed. To her parents' credit, they take her to mental health professionals and try everything that they can to help her process, but nothing works, and Jean continues isolating herself. Jean's parents don't know about her powers or the full extent of what she experienced during Annie's death. With her telepathic connection, she seems to have kept that hidden. And Jean has actually started intentionally isolating herself because she continues to hear the thoughts of others and she can't stop it or block it out. So it's easier for her to just stay alone in her room. And eventually, one of the psychiatrists that they take Jean to recommends the help of his colleague, a man just back from traveling who is recovering from a major accident. Of course, this is Charles Xavier, who recently lost the use of his legs during his fight with Lucifer. After Charles Xavier arrives to help Jean recover from the death of Annie and her uncontrolled telepathy, the best place to follow the story is in X-Men Origins Jean Grey, number 1 from 2008. There are a few glimpses of her past here and there in issues like Uncanny X-Men 241 and 273, but the Jean Grey origin story tells everything at the same time. So Jean ended up struggling with her telepathy for 2 full years before Charles Xavier was enlisted to help her. Her parents explained to him when he arrives that she screams in pain if she's taken anywhere, and they've had to empty her room to prevent her from harming herself. So Xavier goes to meet with Jean and explains that he's there to help. And we get a scene where he enters her thoughts, and she is reliving the moment that Annie died. Xavier tells her that she's a mutant, and her telepathy led her to experience Annie's pain and death. And he reminds her that she is still alive and she doesn't have to continue living in a loop of that memory. And Jean, feeling like she sees hope again for the first time, agrees to accept Xavier's help. So he trains her to use both her telepathic and telekinetic powers. And it's working. Jean eventually makes enough progress that she comes out of her room on her own to talk to her sister, and she's smiling and seems like her old self. After Jean continues to make a decent amount of progress, Xavier decides to test her, see how well she's doing, and he takes her to the mall to practice being around other people. Jean hasn't been in such a crowded space or around so many people for years at this point. She's obviously afraid, but Xavier encourages her to push through it. And once inside the mall, she initially does really well, and she's visibly happy to be able to take part in regular life. But then a little boy who is not paying attention is running around and crashes into Jean, and this breaks her concentration. And all of a sudden, the voices from everyone else's mind flood into Jean's brain, and she breaks down. There's like this explosion of her telekinetic powers as well. She's just unable to stop anything. After they get back to the Gray's house, Xavier explains to her parents that he messed up and pushed Jean too far. The best option he can see at this point is to mentally block Jean's telepathy until she's ready to manage it and able to cope with what she experienced. And so Xavier does just that, and Jean can no longer access her telepathic powers. This frees her from being overwhelmed by them, but also means that she loses a good portion of her abilities for years. And she also seems to lose the memory of what happened leading up to all of this. She still uses her telekinetic powers, and Xavier keeps working with her and training her to use that power. And eventually, he extends an invitation for her to come to the school that he's starting. He tells Jean's parents that there are others like her with abilities, and he can help them to learn to use their powers and keep them safe from the world. Her parents agree, and so does Jean, so she goes with Xavier to his school. We see Jean's arrival at the X-Mansion in Uncanny X-Men number 1. Xavier has the four current X-Men all training and practicing their powers. They're all trying to show off and beat each other, but then Xavier interrupts them and says that a taxi is driving up with a, quote, most attractive young lady inside. Just a heads up, Xavier makes a lot of uncomfortable comments about Jean in these early issues. Really gross, really weird, really uncomfortable to read. This is just the first of many. And the boys aren't much better. They all make pretty similar comments, at least they're children saying it. And they all try to get Jean's attention when she comes inside. Scott, trying to be the gentleman, goes to get her a chair, but Jean just goes ahead and moves it across the room with her telekinesis and sits down, and then goes ahead and moves some books around as well. Seems like she is not above showing off either, and Xavier tells the group that she will use the name Marvel Girl. But then Hank McCoy decides to up the creep factor in the room and walks up to Jean and puts his hands on her face and says, "Let me be the first to welcome you to the X-Men, beautiful." Jean is not having it. She lifts Hank up in the air with her powers and just spins him around like he's in a little tornado, until she decides to let him go, and she lets him fall to the floor. And good on Jean for not taking any shit. Then Xavier announces to her that the mission of the X-Men is to protect the world from evil mutants. And next time I'll get into who they have to face now that Jean is on the team, my boy Magneto. And now we have the full team of X-Men, and we'll start getting into their early adventures, many of which are totally ridiculous, but it'll be fun. It's kind of interesting that in the first issue, Jean is the character used to be like the introduction to the X-Men. Her arrival signals the beginning of the team we all know, as well as the first explanation of who and what the X-Men do. And so we're learning this information alongside Jean. But now we finally get to see them in action and catch up with what Magneto has been up to since we left him a while back. Jean doesn't have an action-filled backstory like the other characters got, but I think she's a good example of the different ways that a mutant's powers can affect their life. Like many other mutants, her powers emerged at a moment of intense emotion and pain, and I actually really enjoyed this retcon of Jean's powers. She starts out originally with only telekinesis, but the addition of telepathy in that later story makes her power set totally different. For quite a while, we won't see her telepathy on the page, but knowing that it's there and hidden from her makes it interesting to see how she progresses. And while I am not a big fan of Xavier using his powers to erase memories or take powers away, the Jean Grey origin story really emphasized that he did try to help her manage her telepathic powers before resorting to such a drastic action, which is quite a big difference from his happy-go-lucky memory erasures in the people in Bobby or Hank's lives. I hope you enjoyed all of these stories about who the original X-Men are. It's crazy that this podcast has been around for a little over a year, and we just now made it to Uncanny number 1. Honestly, I'm so excited because it felt like I would never be able to get here. But we'll get more into that next time. If you're looking for something fun to listen to, check out Gray Malkin Lane. I was recently on a great episode for an interview with Linda Feit. You might not know her name, but she was the first credited female writer of a Marvel comic. And she was just the most fun to talk to. You don't want to miss it. I was excited to talk to her just for her history with Marvel and being a female writer back in the early days of the comics, but she was just an absolute blast. I loved talking to her so much, so go give that a listen. And if you want something fun to read, check out the series she wrote, The Cat, from the early 70s. There's only 4 issues, so it's not like you're diving into a whole new X-Men rabbit hole, But I was actually surprised for how old it is, how much I enjoyed reading it. I read it all to prep to talk to Linda. So go check out that interview with her on Grey Malkin Lane and check out The Cats. And it kind of fits with today's episode. She was the first credited female writer at Marvel. Jean Grey is the first female X-Men. And Linda also wrote a short about Jean as well that you can find in X-Men number 57. Thank you so much for listening. If you feel so inclined, I would love it if you would go rate the podcast wherever you listen. And be sure to follow the Instagram at X-Men Unraveled for pictures from the comics and other updates. Life has still been a little hectic, so I haven't been as good at posting, but trying to get that all squared away. Until next time, take care and remember to look both ways before crossing the street. Is that too dark? Maybe I shouldn't say that. Bye!